Good morning. I want to thank Alan for the last two songs. They fit very well with what I want to talk about. Well, that will be glory and something about risen Savior. What was the last song? Something about that. Our Redeemer lives, yes. And then Matt for reading John chapter 6. That's one of the ones I crossed off because I figured out I had a little more than twice as much information as I need. So, anyway. What would it mean to you if you were immortal? Think about it. I get in discussions with Morgan and Drew sometimes about they're into this comic book stuff and video games where I just got shot. Okay, I'm back up and going again, and you're basically immortal. You can do all kinds of crazy things, that drink a potion and they can run you through with a sword and throw you in the fire and you come running out swinging on the other side healthier than you were when you went in. And you know, the world has done all kinds of things with this idea. So what would your superpower be? Here, I will tell you. In 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7, it says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. All right, imagine the Hulk, Jesus, and a ninja all mashed into one character. Now, Jesus, of course, would just wipe out the Hulk and nullify the ninja, but I needed the visual. And I wasn't about to come up with a superhero from this world to come up with the love. So, Jesus is there. Anyway, I was doing some reading, and I kept running across this the word immortal or immortality, and I was like, wow, that is, I never thought of myself as being immortal. I mean, what would that do for your life? I know right now I would head up to Ledges State Park, and there's a rock that's way up in the air, looks out over the Des Moines River, and I would jump off of that thing and see how far I could fly. Because that was exactly what I wanted to do when I walked out onto that rock and the river just comes down there like this and just goes. And I wanted to jump off the rock and just fly down the river. That's what I wanted to do. Of course, common sense and fear set in, and I didn't do that. But if I was immortal, why not? I'm just going to pull myself out of the mud on the side of the river and maybe climb back up and do it again. Let's go to Romans 2. Romans 2, 6 through and 7. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Interesting. Let's jump back to 2 Timothy. I was going to tell you to keep your finger there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The same reading. Only we're going to pick up in 8 where we left off. Paul's talking to Timothy here. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed an herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You see here, Christ has destroyed death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And then here, it talks about Paul suffering. We talked about this in class. And it's always been a kind of a hard point for me to comprehend why would we rejoice in suffering? And here, we see Paul saying, I am not ashamed of my suffering. I mean, he's suffering. He's in chains, and he's not ashamed. Well, if I was immortal, and I jump off that rock up in Ledges State Park, and do a great big belly flop in the riverbank, and I'm not hurt. I'm not out anything. And I can just run right back up and do it again. I mean, why would I be ashamed? Why would I worry about it? Now, I don't think that's the kind of immortality that we have. We have a different kind, and we'll get to that. So, anyway. But Paul is not concerned about what's happening to him right now. He's not concerned about his image. He's in jail. He's not eating well. Whatever goes along with that. He's getting beat, perhaps, which I don't think he did too much of. Not on this particular... Not while he was in jail, anyway. Well, he was beat. He was shipwrecked. Anyway, he went through lots of things, but that wasn't what he was worried about. He kind of chalked those up as a good story. He was mainly concerned about what he was accomplishing, because he didn't have to worry about that. I'm still wrapping my head around this. So, this is an incredible thing to think about. It's just kind of new to me yet. So anyway, moving on. Let's go to Titus. If few pages over. Titus 1:1-2. And you'll notice, this is, Alan talked about this morning, Paul's greetings. And you'll notice a lot of my, well, some of my scriptures are either at the very beginning of the book or at the very end of the book. So that tells me that this is something very important. All right. Titus 1:2. Paul, servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at his appointed season he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of our God and Savior. Okay, hope, right in the middle there. A faith and a knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life. So, do we hope for something that we have already? No. We hope is something that is in the future. So we do not have immortality right now. But look at the next line. Which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. So, I mean, isn't that just about as good as having it right now? If God says you have it, then we can bet on it. We know that we will have it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:50-58. 1 Corinthians 15:50-58. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So here we have why Paul could go at it so gung-ho. He didn't care about the whips and the rods and the crucifixions and the chains and all that stuff. Because that was temporary. That was just a pain in the side. He was able to know that he was going to blow right by those things, and then he would be on the other side, and then he would be exactly where he wanted to be. Let's go to 1 John 1. through 4. 1 John 1:1-4. All right, this is this is John writing, another one of the other apostles besides Paul, and he's testifying. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So we have John here. He was the favorite apostle, the closest apostle to Jesus, anyway. Maybe, if I understand things right. And and here he's. You don't hear John in Revelations when he writes, or here. John writes a lot about love, and if you're wanting to learn about love, then you want to read John's writings. But it always kind of struck me when John writes, he doesn't write like he was Jesus' best friend. He writes like Jesus is God, like he is just full of respect, and there's none of this buddy-buddy stuff or name-dropping type thing going on that I would be tempted to do. And he writes this in great adjectives, terminology, and descriptive words. And he calls him, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which is Jesus. And we have him. We have him. If we're, I would guess that almost every single one of us here has this gift. We'd probably, I'd have to look closer, but I would say almost all of us here have that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Ah, there it is. Okay. All right. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Since the children, that's us, have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Now, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, nothing. I mean, it wasn't like there was a great sword fight between him and the devil, and he impaled the devil, and the devil melted into this black mist or something like that. Nothing like that happened. I think it was much simpler than that. I think it was just Jesus showed us that death wasn't the end. He just said, watch this. And he died. And then 3 days later, he came back and said, look at me. Touch me. He ate. says, I'm alive. And I will do the same thing for you. And I heard a great example of this from our own history. In the President Lincoln, I'm going to mess this up, the Emancipation Proclamation or something, December, I don't know when it was, what year it was, but it was 3 years before the slaves actually got free. It took a while for those slaves to figure out that it was more than just words. I mean, people paid their lives for it. They died for it. And then, still, people didn't believe it. There were slaves that never left. They never left the farm. They stayed there. It was too much risk. It was too much risk. I mean, they weren't trained. They had been given their clothes. They had been given their food. Ever since they were babies, they were beat if they tried to do anything else. And then all of a sudden, okay, you're free. You can leave. Well, we're kind of like that, aren't we? Death has ruled our for years and years, thousands of years. And now all of a sudden, death is it's not a problem anymore. If you do these things, then death is not a problem. That's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to live. It's hard to go through your everyday life thinking that death isn't a problem. I mean, shoot, we don't even let kids ride bicycles because of death. We put helmets on their heads. We put elbow pads, knee pads. You know, they might fall off. Okay. Let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, 17 through 25. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he is asking for you. This is me. Jesus comes walking up to me, and I give him, he asks me these questions, and I give him all the right answers. And then I go off back home, and I go say, Jesus is looking for you. And Jesus goes off and raises Lazarus from the dead, and I miss the moment. How, when we look at life, we know all the right answers. Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that on the last day we will rise and we will go with Him, be with Him in heaven. And then we go off and we pick up our sheet from work and we start checking off boxes, getting things done. So, what would immortality do for your life? How would it change your life if you really realized that you had immortality, you were immortal? How would that change your life? I don't know the answer to that, because I just thought of it yesterday. So, I mean, let's take our comic book people again. Who are some of the immortal ones? I think the Wolverine is one, right? He's immortal.
Thor.
What?
Thor.
Thor? Okay. That's the guy with the hammer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And, I mean, all right, now, does Thor, he doesn't wear a helmet, does he? No. Okay. So, if you're immortal, I mean, why wear a helmet? I mean, and if you're Wolverine, he just runs around in a t-shirt and blue jeans, right? Yeah. And, all right, so now let's think of some of the ones who aren't immortal. We got Iron Man. All right, he's in a full body suit, right? With all kinds of weaponry. All kinds of weaponry. He even made a special one to deal with the Hulk, right? Yep. Yeah. So, if you're immortal, it changes the way you look at life. I mean, so what? You're going to run me through with a sword. Big deal. That's the best you got. You know? I mean, it's got to change your life. I mean, think of, Cassidy was watching some kind of a show yesterday, and they lost their superpowers. And they had to go through an obstacle course afterwards. And I can only imagine what that would have been like. Can you imagine being able to fly, and then all of a sudden you have to go through an obstacle course, and I have to climb that? When before you just right to the top. So here's what I'm going with this is, if we were to start thinking like this, just think that I am not just your ordinary human being. I don't have to be afraid, and that probably sums up the whole thing, is afraid. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of what you think of me. I don't have to be afraid of what you might do to me. I don't have to be afraid of now that pretty much covers it, I think. And so I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth in love, because that's our middle superpower, remember? We have power, love, and self-control. And so, but I don't have to be afraid of your perception of me, or you're going to report me to the authorities. And I mean, I'm still going to be afraid. Okay, we're going to still deal with that, because I'm still breakable. I'm still, I still cry, get my feelings hurt. I still can get sick and die. But dying is not the end. They're not going to stick me in a hole and I'll just be that, and that'll be it. It's like a doorway. I'm going to go through a door, and Granted, on the other side of the door, we're not quite sure what's over there. But we're pretty sure it's pretty nice. So I want to go back to 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Same one. And I want to read, let's see here. Verse. All right, number 6. Verse 6. All right, let's go back just a wee bit. I am persuaded now lives in you also. So, I mean, this is Timothy. This is an evangelist. He's one of the heroes of the New Testament, okay? He's a good guy. And this is Paul writing to him. I am persuaded now lives in you also, which is talking about his faith. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. This is something Timothy had to work at. He had to be encouraged. I don't believe Paul would have possibly written this way. We went to Living History Farms in the 1800s house, the middle one? No, it was the 1900s, the last one. And I happen to know the lady who was the interpreter there. But anyway, the cook stove had died down, and she grabs this woven fan thing, okay? And she opens up the stove, and she's in there, and you can just hear. And she's just a fanning and fanning to beat the. I mean, she's going at it full blast, and it took a little while, and finally, started smoking a little, and then she got the fire going again. That's exactly what's going on here. Timothy is being reminded that maybe he's let his fire burn down a little bit too low. And he's needing to take care of it, do some maintenance on it, and get it fanned up so that it's burning brightly. And so my lesson this morning is we are this close to being immortal. I mean, we have God's promise that we will have and be immortal. And that should be encouraging to us. That should change our lives. That should make it so when we have an opportunity, if we got that in mind, that might just be the difference between us saying, hey, do you want to have a Bible study? Do you ever think about doing that? Or something along those lines. I mean, I got a guy at work. He's my friend, and he's Paul Zennel's friend. And I've been trying for probably the last year. It was spring. It was spring when Paul and I found out that we both knew the same guy. And anyway, and Paul says, well, you should ask him to have Bible study. And I like, yeah, I should. And anyway, and so I haven't done that yet. So maybe I should do that, huh? Because I'm immortal, right? Virtually. Yep. So I hope it encourages you. I hope it gives you just that little bit of oomph to get over that hump. And since I'm rhyming. But anyway. So that's my thoughts for this morning. And be strong, because you're a lot stronger than you thought you were. If you want to gain this strength, to pick up your superpower, then we can help you with that if you would come forward as we stand and sing this closing song.